Because in college, everyone scores. You're wired into the longest-running college fantasy football podcast in the country, Blitz Radio from Fantasy College Blitz. And now, the founder of Fantasy College Blitz, Vince Mullins.
How is everyone doing out there, you college football freaks? It's Vince Mullins at Fantasy College Blitz, and it is our first podcast of the 2011 college football season. I say our because joining me is our chief fantasy officer, our CFO, who has just released his cheat sheet customizer, which, of course, underneath the hood of that are some extremely detailed projections of 1,000 college football players the year 2011. I welcome back to the podcast, Drew Smith. Drew, how are things?
Things are going great. I have my Dogfish Head 90-minute IPA next to me. Things are good.
Obviously, you remember how this podcast goes, so that is always my first question. What you drinking tonight?
Yes. All right. Yeah, what about you? What are you drinking there, Vince?
I was turned on to an Evan Williams single-barrel bourbon recently, and it's very good for when the temperatures are in the 90s like they are here in Orlando.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so a little rocks and a little bit of that, we're good to go. And speaking of good to go, we're recording this on Wednesday night. We're going to post it tomorrow. So that's going to be 21 days until college football kickoff. There was a time, Drew, we thought that college football might be the only football game in town this year, but the NFL is coming back. So let's dive right back into the cheat sheet customizer.
All right.
You got at least 1,000 players. You can go in and use your scoring system. You can use your custom settings for however your league is set up, and boom, you get a very personalized cheat sheet. Tell me a little bit more about how this all came about. I know this is what, the year three of the customizer, I think.
It is. We have a good friend of ours of the site, Tim Dady, who's designed the customizer behind the scenes. We call it the Dady-base.
The Dady-base, yes.
And basically, all the projections are created, receptions, yards, touchdowns, receiving, passing, everything. It's all there. And when you set up your scoring system, it goes there and it goes into the database and calculates the rankings, and it creates a cheat sheet on the fly. The idea behind a cheat sheet is something you can bring into a draft, so it doesn't have a lot of information. Just ranks them in the order based on your scoring system.
You know, my favorite part of it is, and it's a pet peeve of mine on the internet, but my favorite part of it is that you can just simply download it into an Excel spreadsheet and then mess with it however you want. Have you noticed that when you go to other sites, even if it's NFL, whatever, and you've actually paid, even if you've paid a fee to join the site, they still don't let you download it easily?
Exactly. And that's the nice thing about it because, everyone has an opinion. And if you feel that I have Michael Floyd projections too low and you want to go in there and, change the rankings on your spreadsheet and print out something that has something more customizable to you, you can. If you tend to favor small schools, you can, certainly tweak your spreadsheet and go from there.
Yeah, you bring up Michael Floyd, a great example. You've got him as your number 8 wide receiver here in your preseason projection. So let's dive right in and talk a little bit about the projections. And I don't know if this is really a function of college fantasy football versus pro, and just there's so many more players to choose from. But for instance, a guy like Michael Floyd, you have a projection of being about 15.5 fantasy points per game. But you got to go down to number 13, DJ Woods, to even get less than 15 points projected per game. So there's a function here of, just kind of looking at, there's 5 guys, so maybe even 6 guys, but they're only spread out by maybe about a half of a point.
Right. And that's something that you're familiar with in the finance world, a term called delta. Mm-hmm. And that's an important thing that, everyone should consider with these rankings is that, although, someone's ranked 5th or someone's ranked 8th or someone's ranked 20th or someone's ranked 25th, there's most likely a very small difference between their projections year end. That difference is being delta, is the term that we like to use. So it's very small. So when you're using these rankings and you have someone say, a Jordan White at 9 and Michael Floyd at 8, and you think Jordan White is, a guy that you really feel good about, by all means, take him. Because, when you're looking at the numbers behind it, Michael Floyd has fantasy point projection on the year 200.8. Jordan White has 200.6.
Right.
So we're talking about 0.2 difference between between the two. So don't say, well, you know, I really trust Fantasy College Blitz, and they say I should take Michael Floyd, even though I kind of like Jordan White. You know, take the guy that you like, the gut feeling you have. You know, use the rankings as a guide. Obviously, you know, you don't want to go too far down and say, okay, I'm going to take the 28th guy over Michael Floyd, because while you might like the 28th guy, you can certainly wait. So it's, you know, you have to use the.
That's a good point. This is not a. The cheat sheet customizer is not, has nothing to do with ADP, has nothing to do with, you know, the average draft position. This is simply. You've gone to the crystal ball, you're looking at December, and you want to see who's got the best performance after 13 games.
Right. This is a projection of what I project the stats are going to look like at the end of the year. It has nothing to do with how you should draft. If you can get a guy in the eighth round, by all means, you should wait to the eighth round to take him, even though he may finish as a top 10 receiver. You have to know who's in your league. You have to know how sophisticated they are. And that's the fun of the draft, is especially when you have a guy like that. How long can I wait to take him?
Right.
And
one thing we've learned through playing fantasy college football since 1995 is you got a feeling on, you got to jump on them, because there really is no accepted rule anywhere here that says Eric Page is going to be the 15th receiver off the board. If you think he's a guy that is safely a top five receiver this year, you grab him when he's available.
Right. You can't get too cute with these things. And, you know, especially when you feel really strong about a guy, you know, you got to jump on that, because the last thing you want to do is wait. You know, you're waiting and the guy right before you takes them when you're ready to take them. I mean, that talk about ruining your draft night.
Much hair has been ripped out. And we'll spend another podcast or maybe even another article talking about some draft strategies for those who are new to fantasy college football, or for those just looking to up their game. You know, there are just some unique things about fantasy college football, and we'll talk about the draft schedule later. Let's you know, you brought up an interesting point. So before I go into picking apart some of the different names here, if there's not that big of a delta between a Michael Floyd and a Darius Bright from Hawaii, who I know you've got ranked about as high as anybody else does, so then maybe it would be worthwhile to look at things like tiers. T-I-E-R, not the tears that you feel after somebody's picked right when you want them. But, you know, Ryan Broyles and Justin Blackmon at the wide receiver group are clearly tier one.
Correct.
There's a big gap between Blackmon, almost 19 points expected per game, and Alshon Jeffrey, who you've already admitted to me is probably too high, but you're projecting at 17 points a game. That's a pretty big difference.
It is, and, you know, tiers when it comes to fantasy sports, you know, this is not a new concept. It's been around for a while. And you're absolutely correct. It's going in and seeing when there's a drop off. You know, there might not be much difference between Michael Floyd and Jordan White. And depending on where you're drafting, you may select to go for the running back, because you can wait, and knowing that if you get either one of those, you're not really losing much. But, you know, if you're choosing between, you know, a Justin Blackmon and a Jeffrey, you know, there's a pretty significant drop there. So,
yeah.
You know, that, you know, when you talk about the tiers, when you start getting moving into that next tier, that's when you might want to jump in and grab that player.
I don't see any other tiers really clearly on any of the positions, except, you know, all the running backs seem to be a real smooth distribution. I don't really see a tier there, although I think in our heads we know that LaMichael James and Marcus Lattimore are pretty clearly the number one and two.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing with the receivers, most specifically, is that there really isn't tiers. It's too much on those, because they're really close together. If you really break down, you know, once you get past the top players, there's really not that much difference between the number 15 guy, even the number 25 guy between the two. You know, so you see more of his tiers in the running backs and the quarterbacks. And that's where, you know, people like you and I who tend to wait on quarterbacks, you know, when...
I would prefer to say we tend to sleep on them.
Yes,
somebody wakes us up and reminds us that we don't have one yet. Yeah, okay, I'll get one. Yeah.
Right, but if you look at it, there is a tier in the quarterbacks where, you know, it does tend to drop off, and that's when you want to kind of jump in, and if you're waiting to grab, you know, grab one of those last decent quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the old thing about your value over replacement player, right? You know, Ryan Broyles at 19.9, or let's just round it off to 20 points per game, what you're expecting. The replacement player, if you're in a three wide receiver league, is wide receiver 48, Kevin Bolden, you know, who's 10 point or 11 points is all the expectation there is. So a guy like, I think what we can pull, we can probably stop the conversation right here and say that we think Ryan Broyles and Justin Blackmon we're projecting to be the most valuable picks this year. Because they are that much better than the replacement player at the same position.
Correct.
So think about that. If you got the number one or number two overall, no, we will not argue with you that you know, Case Keenum is probably going to be really tempting for you. But you know, Broyles and Blackmon are probably going to provide the best value. Then you can wait to the next round and get a guy like Dominique Davis and only be a couple points behind Keenum maybe, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
All right. So that's probably more draft strategy. Let's get back to the cheat sheet customizer and Drew Smith's projections here on fantasycollegeblitz.com. Let's go. We've already kind of picked apart the wide receivers. I think I feel pretty good about that. I'm going to ask you one more question, though, about the wide receivers.
Okay.
You know how I love the Mac and I love Hawaii. With the birth of the iPhone, I don't know if you knew this, but I downloaded an app where I can listen to Island 98.5 from Honolulu and listen to every Hawaii game live now.
That's awesome.
It's just too much fun to be listening to a game and you know, at that time. But let's focus on fantasy. Obviously, Bryant Moniz, one of the top players in the game. Again, a guy who's going to be a top 10 pick in every draft. But Royce Pollard was hurt a little bit. The two top receivers who were absolute studs last year, Greg Salas and Kealoha Polaris, are gone. They're both in the NFL. So Hawaii receivers are kind of brand new, and boom, you got two of them in your top 13. Two of them could justifiably be wide receiver ones in fantasy this year. What do you see with Royce Pollard, and what do you see with the big guy who came out of the JUCO, Darius Bright?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's really little to debate that you know, they're going to throw for, you know, probably pushing 5,000 yards. So it doesn't take, you know, much math to deduct that, you know, someone's going to be receiving these yards. So while these guys aren't proven, you know, it still doesn't mean that they're not worth taking.
Right. Well, I think we've learned in college football that proven is nice, but it rarely happens when guys are only playing maybe 2 to 3 years. I mean, you got to get over that idea that there's somebody proven. Hawaii is a proven system. You find who is big, who is going to produce there.
Right. And, you know, obviously, you know me, I'm a big person when it comes to system picks, especially on the wide receiver spot. And, you know, Hawaii is going to have two players in the top 15 receivers in fantasy end of the year, as long as everyone stays healthy. I think that's little debate. So who is it going to be? So that's where it gets a little more tricky. I think Royce Pollard is pretty given that he's the number one receiver. He had a pretty decent year last year with 900 plus yards and 9 touchdowns. After that, you have a bunch of unknowns. So for me to say Darius Bright is going to be the guy who's going to be that second guy, it is true. I'm kind of going on a limb there. It's not based on anything. He didn't even put up any stats last year. He redshirted after coming from a JUCO. But from what I read, he's the most talented. He has size. He has speed. You know, he's the guy that's going to come in there, and the offense is designed to create openings. And with someone as talented as he is, it makes the most sense that he would be that number two guy.
Some other names we'll be watching in that race will be, I don't know how this guy ended up in Hawaii. It sounds like he should be playing for Auburn, Billy Ray Stutzman. And then Jeremiah Ostrowski. Those are some other names we've seen from early camp talk and things like that. But as we get closer to draft day and as we get more information, you know, you'll be updating these cheat sheets and projections anyway, right?
Right, absolutely. I mean, if it gets closer, you know, if all of a sudden Billy Ray Stutzman is outshining Bright, then, you know, I'd make adjustments. But those two guys are also guys that certainly take a flyer on. You know, you're sitting in the seventh round, you're trying to decide between Billy Ray Stutzman and
Chad, you know, Bumpus.
Right. You know, certainly by all means, you know, take the flyer on the guy who has the upside.
No offense, Chad, you're a fantastic player, but Mississippi State just hasn't got it done yet. So
right.
no offense to you, Chad. I'm sure you'll be fine. All right, so wide receivers. Again, the points to write if you're taking notes at home is Broyles and Blackman, we think, are the most valuable players in college fantasy football this year. And then second of all, don't be afraid to pick names that have not done anything yet if they're in big programs like Hawaii.
Big fantasy programs. Big like fantasy, system.
Right, big fantasy programs, which right. I'll be posting later this week some numbers about the strongest offensive college dynasties of the last 3 years. Those will be coming up later this week. Let's jump over to running backs, shall we, Drew?
All right, let's do it.
Running backs, I'll just list the quick top 10. LaMichael James, Marcus Lattimore, Ronnie Hillman of San Diego State, you see him doing it again. Bobby Rainey of Western Kentucky, you see him doing it again. A new name, David Wilson, number 5 at Virginia Tech. Of course, when the two guys in front of him both go to the NFL, that's a great way for him to step right in there. Number 6, Trent Richardson of Alabama. Number 7, Monty Ball of Wisconsin. Number 8, Lance Dunbar of North Texas. Here's your surprise for kids at home. Bryce Brown, the highly recruited, highly talked about player who has been, it's his second college of choice. We got him at number 9. He's playing for Kansas State, and he's a sophomore. Number 10, the muscle hamster, Doug Martin from Boise State. And I think I should also point out 11 and 12. Another name that looked real good towards the end of last year, Orleans Darkwa, a young running back from Tulane. You've got at number 11. And number 12, another Wisconsin Badger, James White, the sophomore, rounding out that top dozen running backs. So the thing that sticks out to me is I can understand two wide receivers from one program being worthy of top 15 status. I mean, there's a lot of balls going around. But you've got projections on Monty Ball plus James White. If I do this really quick, 3,200 yards and 36 touchdowns between the two of them. That's not jiving with my in my brain right now. Unless it was like some sort of wishbone team or something. Tell me more, Drew. What's going on here?
Well, if you look at Wisconsin last year, White ran for 1,052 yards. John Clay ran for 1,012 yards. Monty Ball ran for 996 yards.
Plenty to go around.
White scored 14 touchdowns, Clay 14 touchdowns, Monty Bell 18 touchdowns.
It's
so John Clay is gone. He's trying his luck in the NFL. I don't see any other running back that Wisconsin has that is going to come in and be that third horse. So I think, you know, with the line that's going to be one of the tops in the Big Ten, you add in Russell Wilson, who I think is going to be a great addition to the program, but is going to be more of that game manager type guy because in Wisconsin, you know, smash mouth football is the way to go. You know, I don't really see much of a drop off in the rushing stats. I actually see a slight improvement.
Yeah, you do. You just got it with two guys instead of three.
Correct, and you know. On a side note, Wisconsin's my sleeper national championship team. I'm going to throw that out there.
The defense is always good. I mean, Bilema always has good defenses.
Defense is going to be great. Russell Wilson is a great addition to the program. I think very highly of him. And you know, the Big Ten is kind of down this year. Ohio State's going to have their issues. You know, Michigan's trying to get back on top. I think it's a down year. I think Wisconsin can run the table, and depend how things shape out with some of the teams above them, I think they can be right there in the mix. They can be the Auburn of this year.
I want to point out a couple of other names. Auburn, I think we're both expecting to be a huge drop off.
Yeah, I do. They have a system in place. I think it's going to be good, but you know, their quarterback. Kind of
undecided at this point.
Yeah, undecided, and you know they're going to struggle. I think they might even play the freshman in there a little bit. So I see a definite drop off there.
Yeah, you know, and the tricky part of that projection is, you know, wherever Gus Malzahn is gone, he's even made Chris Todd look like a fantasy star. So we're being a little we might have to change our tune on that as camps open. But right now we are expecting a little bit down on Auburn. Let me throw some other names at you from outside the top 12 that I think are intriguing. Ray Graham, now coached by Todd Graham at Pittsburgh. And Todd Graham continuously has strong offenses. He's the guy who's coached at Tulsa. Ray Graham to me is a guy who should be higher on your rankings, I think.
Actually, you know, I have him at 16. I project him as a pretty decent year, about 1,150 yards, 10 touchdowns, also adding 400 yards, receiving another 4 touchdowns.
So going back to Delta, he's not that different than Doug Martin at 10.
No, he's not. I expect a very solid year from him. I just really think they're going to pass the ball more. So while Ray Graham's going to be more effective, I don't see him having the opportunity to put up numbers that would push him in the top 10. But once, like you said, it's not really much of a difference between Doug Martin and Ray Graham. I think we're looking at a difference, I'm projecting, of 17 points for the entire year difference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one less touchdown by Martin, one more touchdown by Ray Graham. Next thing you know, they're, you know, virtually the same.
I've always been a fan of looking at smaller player, bigger players, you know, especially at the wide receiver position. But a guy I just love watching him run is Kiola Antolin. Now has the job to himself pretty much at Arizona, right?
He does. And I'm a big fan of him, kind of similar to Ray Graham. I just think Arizona is going to be a pass-first type team. He's going to be extremely effective running the ball as far as, you know, his yards per carry. He's going to see touchdown a lot, or end zones a lot. But once again, very similar to Ray Graham, I don't think he's going to have enough opportunities to kind of sneak into that top 10. But you know, even at 22, he's a little bit higher than a lot of other people are projecting. So I think you can easily get him around that spot over your fellow drafters. And you know, he's going to have games where he's going to blow up.
Final thought on the running backs: who do you have as the most? I mean, your projections certainly do not work in average draft position. But who do you think is the most overvalued running back? The one most likely to underperform this year, everybody's expectations.
Well, let me see here.
Is it a guy like Michael Dyer from Auburn? I know I just hit you with a left there you weren't expecting.
Yeah, I think Michael Dyer is going to be a guy who gets drafted a little bit higher than he should based on the championship game. He's going to be a solid guy, but he'll probably get drafted a little bit higher than he should. Another guy who I don't like, now that you mention,
Cyrus Gray.
Cyrus Gray from Texas A&M.
And you neither know, one of us like Bernard Pierce. So
Bernard Pierce is the other guy. So those two are really the ones that stick out if you look at my rankings. Gray is a smaller guy. He did great last year filling in for Michael. But everything I read, you know, Christian Michael is who they consider their franchise. They're not going to go away from him just because Gray's success at the end of the year. Michael was actually having a great year before he got injured. Mm-hmm. I see a split there, and with Michael getting the touchdowns, so I have Michael rated higher than Gray, which I'll probably be the only one out there who has that projection. And then the other guy you mentioned is Bernard Pierce. I have him ranked 71st or so. The guy, he seems to perform, but he's just too frustrating. He's too inconsistent. You can't count on him.
He's
injured.
He's the lion from Wizard of Oz. He's got no heart.
He has no heart.
he doesn't play hurt.
If you buy the hype of the Hurricanes and Al Golden, then mm-hmm. you have to assume that Temple's is going to go back to what they were. So I don't like that team. I don't like his, you mentioned, his heart.
And Gator fans know that Steve Addazio calls a very frustrating offensive game too. So,
right.
And my final note on the running backs, Charles Sims is back for Houston Cougars. He's officially on a depth chart. You might remember him having a phenomenal freshman season before last year, losing the season to academics. He is back. He's currently at 66, and I will be expecting him to be moving up your list. I'll at least try to be selling him to you as the season progresses here, Drew.
Yeah, and the interesting thing with Sims is a lot of times when players don't do what they need to in the with the school, you know, the coaches get annoyed and they kind of put them in the doghouse. They even though they're back, a lot of times, you know, the coach might not trust them, and
right.
because you know they're like, well, don't practice, go work on your schoolwork. But Sims, from what I was reading, he was academically ineligible, kind of on a technicality. And it's not something that he necessarily did that was viewed by the coaches wrong. So mm-hmm. he's going to come back, and I think the coaches are going to welcome him back. And based on his freshman year, they certainly liked him over Bell. So
yes.
I would not sleep on Charles Sims. He's someone that's going real late in drafts that I've noticed. And he'd be a late target in pretty much all my drafts, assuming that you don't take him first, Vince.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that works out in our big draft on August 20th.
Right.
All right, so let's get to the you know, what most people are still going to consider the Cadillac position at quarterback. But, you know, again, we'll spend some more time later, again, reinforcing the idea that you do not need to rush into your fantasy college football draft looking for a quarterback. That being said, who's more fun to watch than Case Keenum when he's on?
Oh, no one. I mean, if I had the first pick overall, I would have an extremely difficult time passing on him because he's so consistent. You can pretty much lock 30 points a game for him. And, you know, that's a value. But hopefully I won't have the first pick in any leagues. I won't be tempted with that because
you don't want that problem.
Right, exactly.
So quick look at your top 10, maybe even go out to top 12 because it's just interesting to me, and I'll bring up another point. But Case Keenum, Houston, comes back for his sixth year. Landry Jones of Oklahoma, who is your top pick out of the automatic qualifying conferences. Then G.J. Kinney out of Tulsa. Bryant Moniz of Hawaii. Robert Griffin III from Baylor at number 5. Then we got Dominique Davis at East Carolina, who is just a large man who can throw the ball all day long. Denard Robinson in his new system in Michigan, we still think is going to be fine at number 7. Andrew Luck, we probably have him rated lower than the average college football fan would expect at number 8, and that's okay. Number 9, a guy I love watching play. You know I love watching the Mac. Chandler Harnish from Northern Illinois, a good dual threat. Then a Kyle Padrone whipping it around for June Jones at SMU at 10. And then a couple guys out of the new Big 12, which only has 10 teams. That's a Brandon Whedon in Oklahoma State at number 11 and Ryan Tannehill, who has not been getting a lot of love in some of the drafts I've been in already this year for Texas A&M at number 12. Now, let me quickly think about that. There's a lot of Big 12 in that top quarterback list. Let's remind everybody that the Big 12 schedule is a little weird this year because of all the changes in the conferences. Most of every single Big 12 guy that I just mentioned has 2 bye weeks for your fantasy season, correct?
Does Tannehill have 2 byes? I'm looking at my notes here, and it looks like maybe he only has 1 bye.
You know, you're right. He is the one guy, and Texas A&M is the one team that does have a Week 14 bye. We're going to have to double-check that.
Right. But, yeah, your point is certainly valid. The Big 12 has 2 byes, and, you know, when you're trying to decide between 2 guys that are, you know, fairly a toss-up, that's something to consider, and you know, unless you just have a good guy that replaced him in your lineup already, then you might not worry about it. But yeah, I mean, you're going to get one less game from potentially your first round pick, and that's definitely worth considering.
But considering how easy it is to find a matchup in fantasy,
right?
Especially if you're playing a one quarterback league, you know, I don't think that's a problem. You go with the guy. You go with the big guns that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I've never been someone that drafts based on, you know, a guy having extra buy or not buy. If I really like a guy, you know, I really like Landry Jones, I got a chance to take him, I'm going to take him. And just worry about that week 11 finding a decent matchup. You have plenty of time to figure that out. But, you know, if you're really struggling between 2 guys, you know, Robert Griffin and Dominic Davis, you know, sure, go with Davis. It's one less thing you have to worry about.
That's right. So some of the things I noticed about the quarterback position here is, here's a good point, though. How comfortable would – these rankings are great. And if you got a chance to grab a top 5 quarterback outside of the top 5 or 10 picks in your draft, it's hard to argue with it. But I think you and I would both be very happy walking away with the draft and having our choice of Marquise Gray, Jeff Toole, and Sean Renfrey. I'd feel like my guns are loaded and ready to go with those 3 guys. And you've got them all outside your top 40.
Yeah, I mean, with the quarterbacks, and this is just a philosophy type thing.
It's mathematical. I mean,
it's mathematical, but every year people take quarterbacks and they take them high, and you know, there's other people. I'm in an expert league, and I guarantee there's going to be, you know, 10 quarterbacks taken the first 3 rounds, if not more.
But do they play 1 or 2 in your starting lineup?
They play 2.
Then you can probably excuse that, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, with 2 quarterbacks, it puts a little more emphasis on 1. But even with 2 quarterbacks, I tend to wait. So,
that's fair.
But that's you and I are kind of more we're even extreme. But you know, we've had a lot of success with this, and you know, we would certainly tell all our listeners and readers to you know, try to implement this as well. If you can kind of go with a system guy, a guy who runs as well, you know, these are those running stats add up, and you don't even realize that, you know, some of the guys that you see as a top 25 fantasy quarterback in the year is like, well, that guy didn't even have a good year. It's like, well, he ran for 700 yards and 8 touchdowns. You pretty much have a running back and a quarterback combined.
Well, you know, another way of looking at that is every single year, there's some guy who comes out of nowhere to be a top 10 quarterback. Last year was Denard Robinson. The year before that,
Dominic Davis was a guy that I targeted in every single draft I had.
And he was not on a lot of radars because there was a whole new coaching staff at ECU.
Right, and that's another reason why, the two guys I'm really targeting in the draft, in all my drafts, is Geno Smith from West Virginia and Tino Cesari from Pitt.
Big East flavor.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are going. The new offenses that are going to be implemented are going to be flinging the ball around, and they're going to put up stats that a lot of people who don't follow college football, closely, or fantasy football, and they just stick to the names they know, they're going to be like, who's these two guys? But next year, these are guys are going to be potentially ranked in the top 10 quarterbacks, maybe, top 15, top 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's right. I mean, Cesari has got the Graham offense. Why not? You have to expect that. Geno Smith. Remember I said last year when Holgorsen was announced as the offensive coordinator at West Virginia, I said it wouldn't surprise me to see Geno Smith as the number one overall pick next year, but ADPs certainly are not supporting that. You've got Geno as your number 21 quarterback, but that's not too much of a different point-wise off of number 13, Zach Collaros, or number 12, Ryan Tannehill.
I've actually tweaked my rankings a little bit, and the updated ones, real time, is Geno's at 18.
Okay.
And Tino's at 37.
Listeners, remember, Drew Smith just tweaked this, and he just sent this to me 2 days ago. So he's already tweaking.
I'm tweaking this every day.
I'm going to write down exactly. Yeah, I got this on August 9th, and I got to remind myself that's when I've got these things. Okay.
The more I read, the more I'm becoming a believer. And so I'm adjusting the stats on both Smith and Cesari. How do you say that, Tino?
Cesari.
Cesari.
Yeah, it's like, remember, I picked on him so much last year. I ain't going to play Cesari.
Right.
But, this year, absolutely. He looks like a great value. And our friend with Matt McCluskey from upstate New York that the radio show we're on each week, I'm sure we'll be happy to hear that. So some final thoughts on quarterbacks. I'm just going to throw these out here. I thought it was interesting that you had Mike Glennon, the sophomore quarterback for NC State, junior. You got him ranked higher than Russell Wilson, who left NC State for a variety of reasons, and now is at Wisconsin. I just thought that was kind of interesting that you had Glennon a little bit ahead of Wilson.
Now, Wilson was a top 20 quarterback last year at NC State. I don't have exactly where he finished. He might have been pushing the top 15. I really like that offense that Glennon's going to go in. He also runs a little bit. He's going to score some touchdowns. Wilson, while I might like him as a better quarterback, if I was running a real college team, I really, like I mentioned when I was talking about the Wisconsin running backs, they're smash mouth football. He's going to be great for the team. He's going to help them win games. But he's going to be handing the ball a lot, and he's just not going to be able to, he's just not going to have enough opportunity to pass the ball. He's going to contribute in the running game some, which just helps him. I mean, if you take out his rushing stats, he all of a sudden becomes not even a top 50 quarterback, in my opinion.
And that's why you downgraded him.
Yep.
Speaking of downgrades, there is a potential Heisman Trophy candidate that you have ranked at number 32 on August 9th. That is Kellen Moore, the senior from Boise State. I know you didn't forget about him, unlike the Georgia athletic director seems to have forgotten that he was actually still playing at Boise State this year. But you have a name in front of him that just blew my mind at first, and you've got Chris Proctor stepping in for Ricky Dobbs at Navy, ranked a spot ahead of Kellen Moore.
Yeah, if there's any person in any of my ranking that would just get someone who doesn't really understand fantasy and just get them in an uproar, or be Kellen Moore, because even people who know fantasy probably is just like want to take a double look on it.
He'll get his touchdowns, he'll throw the ball, but he doesn't give you those running back stats, which really add up.
He has no rush. He's not going to have any rushing stats. He probably won't score a touchdown, maybe one here or there. And so really it's all passing stats. He's breaking in a whole new receiver core. And unlike Hawaii, you might say, well, Drew, you just said Hawaii's breaking in. Boise State they're going to throw the ball, but they don't need to throw the ball and throw for 5,000 yards. They have a very good running attack.
Very balanced, very balanced.
Very balanced, exactly. And a lot of those touchdowns that he got inside the 10, he's not even going to see those. You know, Doug Martin is going to score a bunch of touchdowns. DJ Harper's back. I think he's going to be a guy that also contributes in the running game. And, you know, I still project him to, 3,300 yards, 32 touchdowns, only 10 interceptions. You know, statistically.
Statistically, Tino Sanseri.
Right. Whew. Need another beer or something. he's going to have a fine season. He runs the table. These stats will definitely be Heisman worthy if Boise goes undefeated. It's not going to affect him there or anything. So getting back to your point, Chris Proctor, who I'm not projecting to throw the ball at all, hardly.
Yeah, but he'll run for 1,000 yards.
He's going to run for 1,000 yards and 14 touchdowns. Yeah. He's an excellent runner, much better than Dobbs. And
better than Dobbs?
As a runner, I do agree.
Wow.
I do think he's
a better runner. I watch a lot of Navy football. That's a high bar to climb.
Perhaps, but I really believe in his running ability. I think he's going to easily pass 1,000 yards.
Well, I'll be rooting for him. So.
So you look at the stats and you look at the breakdown of the points and the difference between Kellen Moore and even a number 24 guy is 10 points on total for the entire year. So if you're saying, Drew, you're crazy, Kellen Moore should be ranked higher, I have no problem you taking him, even in the low 20s. But he probably won't even be there for you. He's going to get taken way early.
Right. Let someone else overpay for him in the draft or in the auction, however you do it. Let someone else do that.
He is one guy that I wouldn't touch because I don't think there would be an opportunity where he would be available in a round that is going to match his production.
Last year was a great example of that. I was distracted by the shiny name, Kellen Moore, still on the board. I think it was the 10th pick in that 18-team league we're in.
Right.
Yeah, and I took him, and I traded him halfway through the year for Kealoha Polaris. I also had Bryant Moniz, mind you, but and then Polaris got hurt, so that ruined my season. But hey, but that's the way that Drew and I look at quarterbacks. They're commodities. They're easily replaceable in this game. And we really want you to focus more on the running backs and wide receivers. And if your league has a tight end, my God, you've really got to upgrade them because there's only about five of them right now. They're really top tier.
Right. I mean, even Kellen Moore's last year, which is, no one would argue was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
3,800 yards, 35 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He had no rushing yards.
Nothing.
That's not even good enough for a top 10 quarterback.
Right.
Probably not even good enough for a top 15. So, if you have any sort of digression from last year's stats, which I believe there will be, there's going to be more running focus on running. Maybe you got to factor in the schedule might be a little bit tougher. The Mountain West teams that are bad, but I'd make an argument those bad teams are certainly much better than the WACBAC teams.
No doubt about it. Hey, I will admit that, like you, I have been rambling quite a bit. We could probably talk for about 4 hours on this, but we're already at about 35 minutes. We want to keep these things shorter and informative for you this year in 2011. So, Drew, let's take the last swig of those bottles and let's call it a night. We'll get back and do a couple more of these on some different topics as we progress towards draft day.
Sounds good because I got a lot more things to say.
I bet you do. For Chief Fantasy Officer Drew Smith, I am Vince Mullins, and you are listening to Blitz Radio on FantasyCollegeBlitz.com. We will catch up with you next time.